at the same time that we were hosting RIOP. So a lot going on for a church our size in ministry and mission this weekend, and thanks to all who are making that happen. I know a number of people have announcements this morning, and I'm going to call on Gina first, I think.
Got some helpers for me today. All right, first, I would like all the youth to raise their hands. Anyone in grades 6 through 12? And if I'm looking right at you, that means you should be raising your hand, right? I know there's a lot more out there. All right, so all of those with their hands raised, I want you to take a look at what my daughter Leah is holding up. Leah, hold it up high. Everybody see that? Does everybody know what that is?
Yeah.
All right, if you know what that is, then you can play. Trust me, I even know what it is. And I can dribble. All right, so if you're interested, this Friday, the youth are going to be playing basketball at Haven United Methodist Church here in Providence. It's from 7 to 9. We'll meet here at the church at 7 p.m. And if you need rides and things, please see me during coffee hour today. So basketball, you can play. It is just for fun. It is not a serious game. These two can play. So you can play. So hope to see many of you there. My next announcement. Another youth event that has turned into a congregation-wide, it's open to anyone in the congregation. We are invited to come to a Providence Bruins hockey game night in January. It's on Friday, January 10th. Tickets are $17 a person. And if you are interested, there is a sign-up sheet on the sign-up bulletin board for you to put your name and how many tickets you would like. And Tom Evans is the person to see and contact. His contact information is on the flyer up on the board to inquire about tickets. Next announcement. Sorry, I have a lot today. I wanted to announce our TNT series for Advent. TNT is our Tuesday Nights Together. We get together on Tuesday nights in December, December 3rd, 10th, and 17th, just those three Tuesdays, from 6 to 8 p.m. We gather together for a meal in the first hour, and then a time of study and reflection in the second hour. And this year, we're going to be focusing in the Advent season. We're going to be offering a space and a time for all of us to come together as a community to worship, have a time of worship, to pray, and to reflect on the meaning of Advent. We'll have we'll have a time of singing, a time of reflecting on scripture and prayer as well. So I hope you can all join us. The first week, we also do a potluck-style dinner. So if you are able to bring a dish, the first 2 weeks will be a casserole night theme. There is a sign-up sheet as well on the bulletin board, so please sign up if you can bring something to that meal. Last announcement, from Nurture. We do a lot. We have, again, an Advent devotional. There's information in your bulletin about the Advent devotional available to you this season. It is an online retreat hosted by Jan Richardson and Garrison Doles, and we can get a group rate through the congregation for groups of 8 or more, or 15 or more, the price goes down. So if you are interested in signing up for this retreat and would like to get the group rate, there is also another sign-up on the sign-up bulletin board. And I need to know by next Sunday in order to get everyone registered who is interested in signing up for this retreat. All right, thanks.
Okay, Marianne.
On December 1st, 2 weeks from now, will be our last college fellowship brunch, and we are looking for a host for that. If you're interested, if you've done it before, if you haven't done it before, in hosting the college students for December 1st after worship, please talk to me or Matt after worship today. It's providing a meal after worship and then staying to hang out and have fellowship with the college students. Thank you.
College students, remember that that's happening too.
We had an amazing time at the United Methodist Church, Matthewson, with the kids that went, but I think it was an unusual experience because we were right out of our comfort zone, and so we're going to have a conversation about that today. Upstairs, senior highs, the kids that went to the dinner, stay in the couches room, and for those junior high kids that were there, go upstairs and go into the senior high room, and we're going to sort of debrief what our experience was as we served dinner to 200 homeless people.
This is to pick up on the RIOP meeting yesterday. The Roman Catholic new Pope Francis has said that two of the greatest issues facing the world are facing youth who are unemployed and elders who are lonely, the spectrum of our lifespan. RIOP has been working on the senior issues, as you know, and continues to do so. One of the decisions made yesterday was to encourage all our constituent groups and churches to get people to phone the governor in the next week or so, who is presently putting together the next budget that this state will be passing and dealing with all sorts of issues, but keeping on his agenda the senior issues of respite care and Meals on Wheels, and senior citizens that have been cut year after year for the past 6 or 7 years. So those numbers of budget figures are in the works right now. Phone calls to his office, the Governor Chafee's office, matter. A year ago when we made some phone calls, this congregation made, we figured, 40 phone calls, which was terrific. If we could do that, again, that would be a good move. It's the easiest thing you'll do this week. I guarantee you, nobody argues with you on it. You don't have to explain anything other than asking the governor to keep these issues on his mind and in this budget. We have a handout sheet. Gloria and Dorothea Lusignan both, and I will give you that sheet, and it's how to do it, and phone number, and hours to call, and all that sort of stuff. Plus, the backside has a bit more factual information. You don't have to make a case for this with the person you call in the governor's office, but you might want to know more detail, and that's there. Please do this.
Nancy and I thought this was fill a pew Sunday, so we brought some people to fill the pew. Actually, we have Nancy's nephew and wife from southern Indiana, southwestern Indiana, Terry and Annie Wallace, and their friends Scott and Brenda Hafling with us today. So welcome.
Good to have you with us. Good to have you with us. It's every Sunday is fill up the pew Sunday.
I was saving mine for last because mine's so important. I'm going to just come up front. As you know, the Interim Study Committee finished their report, and we are moving forward. So I am chairing the Nominating Committee, and we are seeking nominations for the Pastor Nominating Committee. So the folks that will be on the PNC will be working over the next months, we're not really sure how many months, but it is a longer-term commitment, but We're looking for people that are willing to make that time commitment and are willing to think about the future of this church as we seek our next permanent pastor. And so I have nominating forms that I have. There are also some on the back table, back by where Dan is standing. And so feel free to come grab one from me. There's a box back there you can put them in if you can't find me. Once you have it filled out, you can give them to me. We're looking to have all the nominations in by next Sunday because we're going to be meeting next Sunday to start to take a look at putting that team, that group of people together. So you can nominate yourself or you can nominate someone else who you think would be a really good representative, and then we will follow up with that person and see if they'd be willing to serve on the pastor nominating committee. So the forms are here. I have them. They're on the back table. Fill them out, put them in the box, or give them to me, and we're very excited to be moving forward on this. Yeah.
Inside your bulletin this morning, there is an insert that talks about the Presbyterian response to the Philippines typhoon, and also a website where you can continue to read how the church is responding there. And we will be accepting donations through the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance and through this church to send forth to that effort. If you have questions about that, please see me or check the website on a continuing basis. It's updated quite a bit. And One Great Hour of Sharing funds have already been sent to the Philippines with water and food provision, working in conjunction with the National Association of Churches of the Philippines and the Churches in Action Together, Action by Churches Together, Alliance. Please continue to keep them in prayer. The psalmist writes, "Surely God is our salvation. Let us trust and not be afraid, for the Lord is our strength and might. Come, let us worship God."
Thank you.
Come to the Lord in prayer, out of our weakness, out of our strength, for we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Trusting in God's promised forgiveness, let us pray, first in silence, then lifting voices together in the prayer in our bulletin. Let us pray. We come to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness. Forgive us for passing by the ones in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting treasures. Forgive us our neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin and strengthen us to serve you in all that we do and say. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us continue in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, remaining seated. Give thanks, number 2036 in the small hymnal. The mercy of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, new every morning. Friends, believe this good news. In God is love. In Christ there is forgiveness. Thanks be to God. Amen. Time in our worship that we share joys and concerns with one another. Want to raise a few for you as we gather together here. You may notice that we are missing again the personnel committee. They are in the process of hearing the third of our top three candidates for the transitional pastor candidates, and we pray for your spirit to guide them as they lead us to the next steps in this journey before we get to the permanent pastor. So please keep them in prayer and with thanksgiving for the service that they are doing these days. We would like to continue to keep Trey Harrison and in prayer. Trey is moving to Fall River next weekend and is in need. We're going to try to help put together some people to help him move. He has some other friends as well helping, but could really use our support as a church to help him move from the house that he and Carrie shared into the place in Fall River. If you can help with that, please let me know, and we will get you all the details on that in this week. And we'd also like to hold in our prayers this morning Mark Weber, who's in the hospital again. And we hope he will be out today in time to join in some of the celebrations with the celebration of the first anniversary of Hugo's adoption, which is this day a year ago. So other prayers from this morning, I'm going to ask Dr. Duff to send the mic away.
This weekend, Keith is in Miami at a conference for refugee resettlement with a lot of different groups that are involved in that around the country. And if we could pray for connections and potential partners and even grant funding that might come out of that for his work with Providence Granola and Beautiful Day, that would be great. And I would love your prayers this week. I will be traveling to join a group of about 25 of my colleagues with InterVarsity's graduate and faculty ministries, and I'll be directing our new staff training. So I would love your prayers for strength and wisdom, and that it would be a great gift for these new people that have joined our ranks and are working with grad students and faculty around the country. Thanks.
So I had the opportunity last night to sing at the Rhode Island Hospital's 150th anniversary, and it sort of thought maybe we should pray for the hospitals and the health system in this country for all the things that are going on, that we move forward, that the hospital will still be there to help both you know, the people who are most needy and can't afford care, as well as have first quality care for everyone.
Amen to those prayers for Rhode Island Hospital.
Continue prayers for Wanda, my colleague, the one that had the stroke, and she's recovering a little bit, but she's been moving to rehab right now. So continuous prayers for her.
Praise the Lord. I tell God, thank you for my grandson, Elvin. God gave him one more year, added to a year. So I tell God, thank you for your family, everybody, through the church, the teacher, everything they teach them. I pray for everybody, for Christ's sake.
Yes, I was also blessed with additional 365 days last week, and I know I have the same birthday with my friend too.
I'd like prayers for my daughter-in-law, Deborah, who has a blood clotting problem. She's been in the hospital, and now that she's out, they discovered that she has more blood clots in her kidney. So she's very stressed. She has two sons at home, and she's very worried about what would happen to them if she dies, and no one seems to know what's causing this condition. Thank you.
I'd like continued prayers for a student, Adrian, who's still battling cancer.
This is the week that members of our congregation are in Kenya working for Ashley's adoption. And we have to remember the strength of our prayers is going to move this along faster, so let's not forget Ashley this week.
And they do have a court date on Friday, so we celebrate and pray for that things would continue to move.
Thank you for your prayers for my friend, neighbor, mother across the street, Marie. She was facing rapidly diminishing eyesight and loss of her driver's license and sciatica. She's all better from all of that. She had surgery. She's got her, for her eyes, she's got her driver's license. She was gardening all day yesterday. Praise God. Oh, and also I'd like to ask for our friend Shelley, who's going to have brain surgery this week, I think, or it's either this week or next week. And she's very frightened, but she stands to gain much from this.
It's my son Zion's 13th birthday this Thursday.
I would like to pray for my aunt. They figured out she has cancer in her lung. She's living in Iraq with bad condition of doctors and situation. So she's like my mother step two. So please pray for her.
We were grateful this week just to hear that Art's mom, Art's aunts and uncles and cousins that live in the Philippines are all safe, just despite some property damage, so we were very thankful to hear that. Also, I don't think we've shared that Art is going on a medical mission trip with his mother in January to Manila, so we're thankful that after 34 years, he finally has a chance to see where his mom grew up. And prayers for an impactful and safe trip for the both of them.
Let us pray. Pour forth your Spirit, O God, on these, your people gathered here in the midst of joys and concerns, hopes and fears, challenges and opportunities, here and in our community and in your world. We continue to pray for the people of the Philippines, for lives lost and families broken. We pray in thanksgiving for the safety of Art's family and for the opportunities that are before him in January as he seeks to travel there. We pray, O Lord, for efforts underway to bring relief around our world and here in our midst, and for the Middle East and all places of war and turmoil, for refugees. We thank you for the ministry and the work of Beautiful Day and pray that your Spirit will blow forth on Keith's trip to Miami this weekend with hope, with encouragement, with partnership, and with funding. We pray for the Macheri family still in Kenya, and with the news of this new court date on Friday, may you continue to bless their efforts to bring their niece Ashley here home again. We pray, O Lord, for the ways in which you strengthen in times of grief and the hardships of illness day by day. We pray for Trey, for the strength you have given him in these days, and for all who are surrounding him in assistance in this time. For Ray, for Melinda, for the Weber family, for Barbara Claflin's brother-in-law, John, awaiting an artificial heart, for all those who support them in these days of need. We pray, O Lord, for our hospitals and those who seek to continue to provide care in meaningful ways to all your people, for their work, for Wanda, for Deborah, for Adrian, for Shelley, for Veen's aunt. You know, O Lord, the needs of our hearts, our hopes, and our prayers for strength and healing. We give thanks, O God, this day for the blessings of our lives, for milestones in this first anniversary of Hugo's adoption, for Philip's celebration of the 65th day, for Marie's healing, for Zion's birthday on Thursday. We give thanks, O Lord, that you help us to see and recognize our blessings as they come, even in the midst of difficult times. Lead us, O God, in your ways alone, to lives of generosity and hope, of love and courage, to be strengthened ever by your grace and grounded in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for justice for all your people and the opportunity to serve in the fullness of ministry that you call each of us to by virtue of our baptism in you. We give thanks for Kathy's ministry with the GradMed Fellowships and pray your blessing upon her as she strengthens and trains those in this week and travel. Help us, O God, to ever be a place of welcome and joy in the journey, a congregation worthy of your name and spirit as we seek to walk in your ways and pray as you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We have the children come forward. Oh, you were here first. Oh, let's not. All right. Here they're coming. You are strong, yes. All right. Wow, you're sitting way over there. You're in gymnastics? Oh, good. Can you do a cartwheel? All right. So I would like to know something. Do you guys know where your mom and dad are from? Where are your mom and dad from? Where are your mom and dad from? You know where they're from? Do you know?
My mom was born in Korea and my dad was born in Tennessee.
Korea and Tennessee. Where are your mom and dad from?
I don't know, I was from Pittsburgh.
You were from Pittsburgh? All right. And who else knows where their mom? Where are your mom and dad from? Oh, come on, you know where they're from? What country are they from? Are they from the United States? Not from here. All right, that'll be a good answer. Okay, where are your mom and dad from? Where do they come from? You know where they're from? Where are they from? Are they from here? Ghana, that's right. But now I have another question. Where is your home? Where's your home?
Taft Avenue.
Yeah, it would be Providence, yep.
What's your home?
Providence.
Look, you're all from? Yep, you got all addresses. We know all your addresses. You're all from Providence, right? Well, why am I asking about this? Well, because I read something this week that sort of reminded me of something I wanted to say to you, which is that that home is not where we're from. Home is where we're needed. Okay? So all of you came to Providence because your parents were needed here, and maybe you were needed here. And you were born in Providence, so you're from here and you're needed here. But I was thinking about this because it's getting to be what we call in the big church stewardship's time. And that's a time where we remind all the parents of why they're needed. And I thought I should remind you that you're all needed. Okay, we all need you. Do you know there's a couple of people missing today? You know, when I look around the church and I see you guys, it makes me feel real good. It makes me feel close to God. It makes me feel like we're making a difference for all of you because you want to be here. And when you're not here, I'm a little sad. I look for every one of you every week. And so I need you to be there. And, you know, we need Pastor Chris up there, and we need Elena and the organist, but we also need a lot of people sitting around. What if I was giving this talk and there was nobody sitting here? That would be kind of silly, huh? Yeah. So what did you want to say, Ben?
Josie was born on Ho Street, and if she went right across the street, she would be at Presbyterian.
Oh, my goodness. That's pretty good. So, yeah, so she's not very far from where she's home. But I just wanted to remind you, all you guys, that you are all needed, and you're needed here. And what does that mean? That means, in a way, this church is your home, because home is not where you're from. Home is where you are needed. All right, let's say a little prayer. Dear God, help us to remember that we are needed. We are needed in our communities, we are needed in our churches, and we are needed in our families. And help us to act on this so we can make a difference in your world. Amen.
Senior highs are excused to their class upstairs, and ages 3 through 5th grade downstairs.
Our Old Testament reading today is from Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our New Testament reading is from Luke 12, verses 32 through 34, and the second portion of verse 48. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required, and from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We begin this morning 3 weeks of reflection and preaching on stewardship today, the practice of how we use the gifts that God has given us where we are needed, as Andrew reminded us, the gifts that God has given to us in witness to our faith. We invite you to a time next week after worship for the nuts and bolts of this congregation and how your money is given and used. And on December 1st to join us in a time of dedication in pledges as we seek to move forward into the future that God has for us in the year to come. That's December 1st. As we prepare to enter into God's word and reflection today on these texts that have been read by Dr. Duff, will you pray with me? Pour forth your spirit, O God, on each of us, that the words that I speak and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I asked an interim pastor friend of mine several months ago, how can you preach about stewardship when you don't know what's ahead? You might be wondering that yourselves around here these days, in the twists and turns of this fall, in the surprises that have been before us. But she wisely said that there is no better time for us to ask people to reflect on the spiritual discipline of giving in their lives, on their faith, their values and priorities, and how that is reflected in how we give. To connect the message from God that we have been richly given to the way we respond with our very lives, in good or in bad, in certain or uncertain times. Wasn't the answer I expected. I wanted three steps of how to do it. But so I have decided, as we get moving in thinking about stewardship, to do something that I have not done with you in 11 years as your pastor, and that is to share from my own practices of stewardship. But first, a few words as we look at this lectionary passage today. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. This is a proclamation of hope, my friends, of a community reestablishing its life in the promised land of God's grace. Faith in a God who is ever creating, renewing, redeeming, and transforming life and God's people. And it is a hope that is not dependent upon the realities of our world or circumstances, however dire. And they have been dire indeed for so many, in our own lives, in the lives of this community and people we know, in our community, in our world. We live in a world of now and not yet. We know that. Jesus has come, but we are oh so aware that the kingdom of God is not fully present in its fullness here in our individual or family lives or certainly our world. And yet, we still gather as community. We gather week after week, day after day, prayer after prayer, in our own hearts, in our own silence, and together as a community, to bear witness to the hope and promise that this prophet Isaiah knew and foretold, and to seek new assurances of God's grace, to comfort and encourage one another, to strengthen each other in the weak places of our lives, and to challenge complacency and selfishness. The God we worship and proclaim is the God of hope, of promise, of a presence that can never leave or forsake us. And we are reminded of that as we gather today together in joy and concern, in celebration and blessing, in hopes and in fears. And we respond out of that by giving, not because we think that we will receive God's blessing by our giving, but because we believe in this promise of hope and give out of that sense of God's grace to what we have seen, what we have heard, and what we feel called to share with all God's people to build a community of hope that may transform lives, not just in this place, but to the ends of the earth. To lead people to follow God who can make all things new, even in the darkest of places and circumstances. And so I encourage you in these 3 weeks to spend some time in chapter 12 of Luke. Where do you find yourself challenged by the message? We've read a couple of those passages today, but the whole chapter is filled with lessons on stewardship. Where are you encouraged or challenged to give with joy and commitment? Chapter 12 is a great chapter of Jesus' teachings about the lives that we are called to live in giving. I think it's one of the best chapters in Scripture about that power, with the challenge of putting all that we are and all that we have under the dominion and power of God, to remember that we are stewards of God's blessing, called to live responsibly and with love and service to God and those around us, to remember that God is ever present, guiding and willing us to a life of abundance, to bring life out of death itself. It would not be a bad thing if you picked up your Bibles and looked at chapter 12 at this point. Some examples from chapter 12, in addition to the ones that we read this morning: nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered. God sees and knows our very hearts and where our concerns and commitments lie. Not one sparrow is forgotten in God's sight. One's life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Be always ready, for we know not when the thief may come. Read just this one chapter of Scripture in these 3 weeks and pray over it and see how it might speak to you. The early Christians did not share their resources out of a sense of obligation, guilt, or in obedience to some new rule called equality. They shared their goods out of a tremendous experience of joy and offering. They had experienced the Holy Spirit in such a way that their lives were turned upside down, changed, transformed. And that was good news, to share and to live simply and with joy. So then, how do you begin into this journey? How do we begin to give with this kind of joy? Wherever we are and whatever circumstances we are in, we can give of ourselves, and even in small ways, we can make a big witness to the way that we join together in it. Several weeks ago, when we announced in worship that Trey had so suddenly lost his wife and so tragically, I was immensely touched by one of our new visitors who the next Sunday came to me and said, "I don't know who he is, but I wanted to write a card to him." We can give in small ways that make a big difference. We learn how to give and we practice it in little ways that grow into amazing places. I want you to think in these 3 weeks about where you learned about stewardship, where you learned about giving to the church. Maybe, as we are finding out in conversation around this topic in our various committees, maybe we've not talked enough about it, so you have no idea what it even is to be. So I'm going to share a little bit about how I learned and where I learned. I remember seeing my father write his weekly check to the church. Maybe your house was something like mine growing up, if you grew up in the church, as we waited for my mother to be finally ready for church. He would sit down at the table and write the check. It was a ritual, a habit of giving, and for a long time, we never talked about it. I just saw him do it. on a Sunday morning before worship. But then I got too curious when I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I decided to sneak a peek to see how much he was writing on the check, because I knew it was his church. I knew it was his check to the church. And I was shocked to find out it was $100. And I couldn't contain my curiosity. He didn't see me sneak the peek, but I had to admit that I did it. And as some of you know, that I often say things before I think they should be said. I asked him the question. Thanks, Andrew. I asked him the question, is that the same number that you write every week on the check? I knew at the time that our household income was about $50,000 a year. And that's how I learned and heard about tithing, giving 10% of one's income to the church for the first time. I was talking to my dad this week, who is still tithing at age 80 plus, and one of his favorite sayings as we were growing up was, "To those to whom much is given, much is expected." I told him, I confessed to him, that I always thought that that was something my parents used to say to us, their three daughters, to motivate us to give more of ourselves to the world. I can't tell you how depressed I was to find out that it was actually in the Bible. In chapter 12 of Luke. Andrew and I have been so blessed by parents who have been witnesses to great giving in their resources, but also in their very lives. My mother, who trained Girl Scout leaders in outdoor cooking skills well into her 70s. My parents' involvement with the community meal in Olympia and with Tent City, where my father brought coffee to the city's homeless on a regular basis and advocated in their church to host it each winter, lining up the volunteers to staff it, again, well into their 70s for decades of service before they retired. I first began tithing, or giving 10% of my income, at the lowest income of my life when I was in seminary, because I thought, how could I stand up and ask others to do what I wasn't doing as I headed into ministry? The math was pretty easy in those weeks when I was living on $50 or $75 a week. The job I had during those days was highly variable. I cleaned houses and worked at an hourly rate, helping to transition older people into retirement homes, a kind of business that grew out of my cleaning houses as they were moving into retirement homes. I lived on cabbage at 7 cents a pound and $15 for food a week. Giving 10% off the top of my income when I received it and making my budget for the month from the rest. And some days were really, really tight. When I first met Andrew, who some of you may know is a very good cook, he suggested we buy a chicken for that week of cooking once when he was visiting one weekend. That was pretty much my whole food budget. But it was something interesting happened when I started giving in that way. It was interesting to me that on some of those days, a friend would invite me over to dinner or a new job opportunity would emerge. I would find a used textbook to study instead of a new one, or I simply wouldn't be as hungry that day when I didn't have the money to buy food. Or some non-financial blessing would come my way that encouraged me by saying, yes, God is here, and God is still looking after me. A note or a phone call from a friend, an offer of a ride together to a class when I didn't have the money for gas. And after a while, giving 10% from the top became a habit for me, so that I didn't even feel that money that went out at the start. I simplified many parts of my life, and that center of giving kept my center in Christ, and still does to this day. The Bible calls it first fruits, giving from the top. Our family, Andrew, myself, and our two children count it a great privilege to be part of this community. For Andrew and me to have been able to raise our children in a church which seeks to faithfully follow Jesus Christ, seeks to give so fully of itself in every way and all kinds of resources with joy. To gather people from a variety of backgrounds and circumstances to learn and grow and have fun together in so many ways. It's a privilege for us to be able to offer the resources back that we have received to make a difference in that. This weekend was a very good example of the kind of community I'm talking about, and we talked about it a little bit in the announcements this morning with our youth and youth and adults down at Matthewson Church, with RYOP in the morning on Saturday, with work at the food pantry also on Saturday. There are so many ways of giving that are shown forth here. We all can see through the prayer concerns of this place that we are a people of rich diversity in terms of the resources that we have been given. A variety of financial and life circumstances for individuals and families struggling in these days. We hear the prayers every week. But each one of us is called to look at our own circumstances with God and to seek to ask the question, how is God calling me to give? And to pledge that offering, particularly as we seek as a church to plan responsibly for this church's future, together we can do so much for God. I encourage you in these weeks to pray about it, to see how God might be moving in your heart as you encounter these texts in the 12th chapter of Luke, as you read and hear about the ways in which we are seeking to live out a vision that we can share not just in this church, but to the ends of the earth. Together, we can do great things for God, from whom all blessings flow. Let us then live as a people of hope into the joy and promise that is God's will for our world. Amen.
Will you please join me as we affirm our faith together using the statement of faith which is printed in your bulletin? In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve, with believers in every family and faith. We rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God. Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God calls us to be generous, not when the bills are paid, not when we have everything we need, not when we see our way clear. God calls us to be generous now, in this present moment, trusting God, who is our provider. And so we give freely, as we have received freely. We love fully, as we have been fully loved.
Thank you.
Our Father, accept the gifts of our hands and the thankfulness of our hearts, hearts and hands and voices, all lifted in praise to you, God of our life. Amen.
Also from the prophet Isaiah, they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us go forth in the promise and the hope of God's grace, redeeming, sustaining, creator, ever creating ever new. Amen.